future.
There are no people.
There are no people in the future.
No people at all.
There are no people in the future.
Where did all my people go?
There are no people in the future.
Let me try my people call.
Hey everybody, welcome. Yes, surprise. It's a Wednesday night. Yes, it's almost like a special edition of Raging Chicken's Out the Coop podcast. But it's not Out the Coop podcast, is it? No. Surprise. It's the Wednesday show with Cyril Mikulenko. Yes, indeed. We're able to pull it all together for this evening. Those of you who listen to the show know Cyril Mikulenko is a progressive columnist for the Buck County Courier Times and the Intelligencer. And this show joins, well, you know, Out to Coop Live, our Monday evening interview show, our Friday politics roundup with Sean Kitchen and I break down the good, the bad, and the ugly in state and national politics. You can get all our shows by subscribing on Podbeans, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Sorry, we got a little kind of like, I'm a little dipping with the sound stuff. We'll tell you a little bit about the disorganization that I'm having tonight in just a moment, but here it is. You also got to make sure you sign up for Cyril's newsletter on Substack. That's cyrilmikulenko.substack.com. You can also just click on this little link there in our show notes, and you can help support this show by becoming a patron for as little as $5 a month. Just go to patreon.com/rcpress. Your support has helped make this show possible. And, you know, I want to give a special thanks out to all the folks that have been really kind of pushing out and tweeting out kind of the interviews of late. It's been fantastic. We had a great interview this past Monday with two of the school board candidates from the Pennridge School District, Adrian King and David O'Donnell. Fantastic. So thank you all for pushing that out. Love the feedback. You can also help this show by, you know, heading on over to our YouTube channel, right, if you're not there already. And make sure you smash the subscribe button, like the stream for this show, and hit that notification bell so you know every time that we go live. You can also join our Discord server to continue the conversation all week long. Just click on the link in today's show notes. And a special shout out once again goes to Jonathan Mann, who wrote our intro song, There Are No People in the Future. Check out all his great stuff on his YouTube page or follow him on Twitter at @songadayman. That's with two N's, @songadayman on Twitter. Well, I do want to give one more plug before we kind of get into it for tonight. I got a cool show coming up on this Monday's an Out to Coop Live. And Out to Coop Live this Monday, August 23rd at 7 p.m. I'm going to welcome Ben Tupper to Out to Coop Live to the podcast. We're going to be talking about the unfolding crisis in Afghanistan. Ben Tupper is the author of the book Greetings from Afghanistan, Send More Ammo, Dispatches from Taliban Country. He completed three tours of duty in Afghanistan. He sent a bunch of dispatches from Afghanistan to NPR. He's a great commentary. And in full disclosure, he happens to be one of the troublemakers that I have known the longest. Ben and I kind of got to know each other in college when we were on the protest circuit for, against death squads in El Salvador. So Ben's going to be on the show. I think you're going to really kind of enjoy his commentary and his perspective on kind of what's going on. So we're going to get into that on Monday. But that's not why we're here tonight. Tonight we're here because Bucks County, once again, has had a little bit of a, I don't know, explosion is not quite the right word. But it's like, once again, we find ourselves in the midst of controversy and at the center of some really divisive politics. I mean, you know, I'm sitting here getting ready to kind of go back to school. I'm trying to get my kids back to school. You know, everything seems to be kind of coming to a head. I've got my head down working on my syllabi and all this stuff. And then last week, right, I'm just kind of like take a little break, doing a little doom scrolling on Twitter, and holy cow, Cyril, like what did you get yourself into, man? It's like both around Cyril and around really, it wasn't really around Cyril, it was around David Damsker, right, who's the director of the health department in Bucks County. Cyril had kind of like had, you know, was commenting on it. Other people were commenting on it. And it was this explosion around David Damsker, who had basically had given this new guidance about coming back to school and all this and say, you know, we don't need any, there's no mask mandate and all this. Well, some of the things that have been percolating about this guy for quite some time came to the surface. And now we see there's been reporting on this in WHYY and so on. But it seemed like it's like, you know, in many ways, at least from my experience, Cyril, is like, you know, being on Twitter, it was like, is like your Twitter account like at the center of my feed. And there was all these people kind of sending and sharing and all this kind of stuff. But it's pretty crazy. So, I mean, welcome to the week, I guess.
Thank you. It's good to be back, especially after, you know, a bit of a hiatus. But, you know, because of everything going on right now, I just felt like I needed to kind of make the time and hop on with you for a little bit to kind of break this down with so many moving parts and so many like developments that have been happening over the last week or so.
Yeah, so let's see if we can just, before we get into kind of some of the things that kind of unfolded this week, can you give us just a little kind of like background to set the table here about a little about David Damsker, who David Damsker is, and kind of why are we actually going to be talking about this guy tonight?
Sure. I mean, and, you know, he's Bucks County's public health director, right? And for a public health director, he's a very like controversial and divisive figure. Which shouldn't be the case, right?
Right.
You know, and a lot of that has been around his approach to COVID. He has boasted that he, you know, often disagrees, you know, with the CDC. So, you know, he thinks he knows better, right? And he has this whole kind of, you know, network of folks around the Reopen Bucks group. That are kind of like his weaponized digital goon squad. And I'm not suggesting that like he's coordinating with them at all, but that just kind of adopted him, you know, as this kind of like deity almost. It's almost like, at least there has been up until recently, we can talk about why that's changed, but you know, they've essentially deified him and we're supposed to just listen to what David Damsker says, right? With no criticism or critique. You know, you're not supposed to bring up what the CDC says because, you know, who knows, they're part of the deep state or whatever it is like these far right groups believe. So anyway, you know, people in the community have reached out to me and, you know, there's a lot of amazing people who've been doing the hard work behind the scenes, the organizing, the filling out the right to know requests, and someone who will remain anonymous because she doesn't want to deal with like the, you know, the digital backlash and the personal attacks that kind of like, you know, just come with doing like civic activism here in Bucks County, especially when you're going against the, you know, the right and this anti-mask movement. She gave me a document of an email that Damsker sent to, was it Middle Bucks, it's an Institute of Technology.
It's the, let me see if I can pull it up. Something like this. Yeah.
And so anyway, regardless, like, so he was like responding to an email and he was telling, you know, this woman that, you know, essentially just don't contact trace and encourage parents not to report if their kids have COVID, which seems like extremely irresponsible, right? You know, especially because it's not just about the kids being sick, but they're carriers. And there's oftentimes like, you know, people are immunocompromised. There's blended families with grandparents living with them that might be more susceptible to COVID.
Right.
And it just, you know, it flies against both science and just common sense, really.
Right. Let me read. Here's this section. This is for reporting. This came out from WHYY, a story in WHYY, which is kind of unpacking some of these emails here too as well. So let me just read us kind of a segment of it so people are situated and know what we're talking about here. So it says, in one email sent on July 10th, Damsker advised Catherine Strauss, the administrative director of the Middle Bucks Institute of Technology, to have parents not report positive COVID-19 cases to the school's daycare facility. The daycare facility is obligated to follow guidelines set by the Pennsylvania Office of Child Development and Early Learning, which says daycare must report positive COVID-19 cases to the Bucks County Health Department. Strauss wrote to Damsker questioning the conflict between the state and the county's policies. And Damsker responded, quote, "One easy way of handling this is not to have your parents report COVID to you, or any more than they would report influenza to you. That way, you won't know. If a kid is sick normally, you won't ask why the kid is sick." Right? So this is, I mean, this is directly like telling, right, someone who's reaching out to try to understand and how to file the guidelines, right, to keep everybody safe and make sure that she's, you know, not putting her teachers or her kids or anybody at risk. And he's basically saying, look, you just don't tell the truth.
Yeah.
You just don't share that a kid's got COVID. Then you're fine.
Yeah. And, you know, once I tweeted that out, obviously it just caused an uproar, right? And just like people were just outraged. Mm-hmm. I think they were shocked. Probably a lot were like scared that this is the advice that our top public health official here in Bucks County is giving people. And, you know, they should be concerned about that.
Right. You know, and this is like another thing we got. Damsker comes is quoted as also saying in these, I am not in favor of doing any kinds of lockdown or social isolations ever again for any coronavirus, regardless of what happens.
Yeah. I mean, right? How can someone say that unequivocally? Right. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. There could be like a massive breakout and you just like keep, you know, business as usual, keep everything open. And, you know, it just seems like he's putting like a type of like ideology almost before science, right? Which is the exact opposite of, you know, what he's supposed to be doing, what his job entails.
Yeah. And I think like, look, I've said this to you, I've said this to kind of like dozens of other people, is that, you know, when I was trying to understand what to do with my kids, right? You know, when COVID first broke out, and then what was going to happen in going back to school. I mean, my primary concern is like, okay, I mean, how am I going to keep my kids safe? And what are going to be the protocols that are going to be there? Because part of it is I'm looking for like assurance, right? That, you know, that the schools are going to be doing the right thing and following it. And also I'm looking for advice, right? To try to better understand what's actually happening in our community. And, you know, I went on several of these Zoom calls with the community, some with the Bucks County Health Commission, you know, different organizations that, you know, he was always one of these featured people, and also with the Pennridge School Board. And he'd come on and like, it's just like something didn't sit right. Right. Because I'm watching the news, I'm reading all this stuff. And then it got to the point where I was like questioning myself, like, you know, am I being overly cautious here, right? Am I being kind of too concerned about it? Because I listened to what he's saying, and it's like, I couldn't quite place him. He wasn't saying anything overtly political, overtly ideological, but he was just kind of like downplaying what happened with the virus, and that, you know, we don't really need the 6 feet, because, you know, that was a big question. We don't really need the 6 feet social distancing. 3.5 will be fine when we can. And it was the kind of stuff that set like my panic buttons off. Like, what do you mean? Like, there's the 6 feet is based on the science, right? And you're saying 3.5 feet, and you say when that's feasible.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, that's why my son stayed home. My daughter ended up doing, you know, hybrid school for the year. And every time this guy would come on, and then I would see the, you know, school board, people on the school board basically saying, well, Damsker says we're just following the guidance. And I'm like, this doesn't feel right. And what these emails did is they showed that there was an agenda here. There was an agenda to downplay COVID. And now he's actually basically instructing people who are calling his office for guidance, right, to skirt state regulations and law. I mean, it is so dangerous. I mean, this is like not the person that you want to be having, like, at the, you know, entrusted with public safety and public health.
No, absolutely. And I just want to call out to like Bucks County Commissioner Diane Ellis Marsaglia, because the way she handled this as well left a lot to be desired for a Democrat. Because, you know, after I released the document, the email that was obtained through a right to know request, she responded to people that kind of emailed her, you know, expressing their concerns and you know, about this. You know, that this was like possibly altered, taken out of context, things were missing, you know, and then I ended up posting the whole entire email in one document for people to see. So it's just like, why was she doing that? Is that just political? Was she just covering her own her own ass. And, you know, how could she do something like that when she's playing with, like, people's lives?
I had to say, that was a look, I've spoken with her before, right? I think I even made a donation to, like, their campaigns to kind of get the commissioner's thing after speaking with her. Like, you know, she's going to get a letter from me on this kind of personally, because I saw that exchange and I was, like, literally flabbergasted. I mean, as your county commissioner, your first thing that you're going to be doing is making, like, public assumptions about what had happened to these emails, right? As a way of covering either protecting him or protecting herself, as you said, right? As opposed to asking the question, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. And getting to that before she took to social media and started to kind of, like, you know, chip, because really it was like chipping away at your reputation, right? About putting that stuff out. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. When really the story is about David Damsker, right? And this, you know, what was the content of these emails? And then, you know, the secondary part, which kind of this was got reported out to as well, is that, you know, there's, you kind of mentioned this earlier, there's been this cozy relationship with the kind of reopen PA stuff, right? And with David Damsker. What I mean by that is that you'd show up at these rallies, right? Or like, you know, these public events, and these reopen PA stuff would come up there and they'd be basically shouting David Damsker's name.
Yeah.
Right. They'd be saying, David Damsker said, you know, and there's like, follow Damsker. Just last week. And they on, you know, we I talked about this with the Penridge school board candidates, Adrian King and David O'Donnell on Monday, where they're basically saying, like, yeah, I mean, that's what you'd hear. You go to school board meetings. You got Joan Cullen, who's like, you know. We all know Joan Cullen. Joan Cullen, who's kind of out there saying, well, Damsker says we're just following the silence, the science. And then, therefore, it makes it sound rational and reasonable.
Sure.
Right? And so, and then we find out, right, that, you know, and again, I want to be clear here, right? I'm saying, but we find out that Damsker's wife, right, had been involved with Reopen PA.
Yeah,
I'm not saying, like, you know, I'm not saying that they sat down at some kind of star chamber table and kind of like planned all this stuff out. I'm just saying that gives you a window into some of the agenda and the ideological backing of some of this stuff.
No, absolutely. And we know for a fact, despite all the spin and lies that you might hear from the Reopen PA folks, we have screenshots of her commenting on the Reopen PA Facebook page. Now, they're trying to say she was never a member. It's a private Facebook page, and in order to post, right, or to see posts, you need to become a member, right? It says it, like, right on the page, right on the introduction.
Right.
You know, and again, like, we're not saying, like, there was some kind of coordination, but she, you know, as, I don't understand, like, how she or he thought this was a good idea. Because to me, it at least creates a perception of, like, a conflict of interest.
At the very least.
Yeah. And I think it just, you know, and then given the political, you know, nature of her posts, she's telling people to campaign for keeping kids in school PAC candidates, which we know are, you know, some of whom are QAnoners, bigots, and kind of like science denialists. She's also been very critical of Governor Wolf. So, you know, essentially her presence there is just, I think it undermines, like, the broad public confidence in his work and in his suggestions.
Yeah, and I do think that's really the essential issue here, right? I mean, I think that what I saw on, look, I mean, look, you go on, when things make it into social media, right, you know, people will say whatever they're going to say about those things, right? But really, I think the central issue that I think that a lot of people were trying to draw attention to was exactly that point, right? It's like, at the very, this is something critical in the middle of a pandemic where we need to have that public trust, right? And public officials, especially with this kind of stuff, are generally aware of that stuff, right? Aware of the way that this can play out, right? So if my wife were a member of some sort of organization, right, that was kind of like out there in the streets, right, that was doing something that was potentially in conflict with what I'm doing publicly without acknowledging it, right, we would have to have a conversation about that, right? And at the very least, to kind of like make a public statement about this so people could see it. The fact that this was happening behind the scenes was deeply problematic.
Yeah, and, you know, and just to, like, I had mentioned this earlier, but just to kind of reemphasize this point, it's just like, you know, groups like Reopen Bucks County and Reopen PA, they like weaponize their membership. So like back in April, I wrote an article about this business owner in Doylestown.
Right.
All she did was offer a discount for people to get, for people who had been vaccinated, right? Like 10%. She wasn't saying you have to be vaccinated. You know, she did want people to wear masks in her store. And then as a result, that got her kind of Facebook post got posted on one of these Reopen Defy Governor Wolf Facebook pages. And next thing you know, she's getting hate mail. She's getting calls at all hours of the day and night. She was called a Nazi, a communist. You know, these very sane and rational, like Reopen PA people were saying that vaccine cards were the mark of the beast, right? You know, in a reference to the Satan. So it's just... You know, and then like obviously, like you know, they will go after you viciously, personally. They will try to cancel you, and to anyone, at least up until this point, anyone that spoke out or was critical of David Damsker and his medical advice, even though it, you know, it was contrary to, you know, the CDC and different like medical pediatric groups.
Right. You know, and like this is even something what was remarkable about now this didn't get reported in that section that I was reading from the WHYY piece. But in that email that came from Catherine Strauss, right, what was, you know, so it was crystal clear to Damsker. She actually quotes the law. Right. She says like, hey, Middle Bucks has an on-site child care center. Right. This is kind of who we are. The mandate said that we have to report all these positive cases. I know you said that the Bucks County Health Department will no longer be tracking COVID-19 cases or conducting contract tracing. But we are being told by this organization that we need to report this to you. I provided you with the language from here. And then she gives it. The facility must report COVID-19 cases to the Department of Health as per 55 PA code 3270. And it goes on. Right. And so, you know, even when she was talking to him, she was not even like, there's no room for kind of a lack of clarity there. Right. So it's a clear example of where he came in to purposely give her permission to, and I don't know where she was coming at it from this, but basically saying to her, look, you just don't report them.
Yeah.
This is how you get around it.
Yeah, no, I mean, and so like, you know, and besides WHYY, like the Courier Times actually did some good reporting on this too, with like, Zolary and Ashley Williams. Now because of the kind of the media spotlight, that's been shown on this, now the public, now the Bucks County Health Department has kind of changed its tune. Now they said like, you know, the medical kind of conditions on the ground have changed as well. But now they are advocating or recommending, you know, full masking in schools. And let's just make like one thing clear, because like the Reopen folks are trying to like suggest that like we're celebrating that kids have to wear masks. It's like, no,
Jesus,
we're not.
Christ.
Like, no one wants the kids to wear masks.
Do you understand? Do you understand like the kind of like the frustrated, protracted conversations I have to have with my kids on a daily basis about this, right? I mean, it's like nobody wants this.
No, exactly.
Right. But nobody wants to be dead. And I should say this, let's be clear about this. This is just reporting, apparently at NBC, like Philadelphia affiliate NBC is reporting on this on their show tonight. They had a little teaser there, right? There's a family, right, that's going to be coming forward because this is, and here's a quote. This is from Matt DeLucia, or DeLucia, I don't know how to say it, from NBC Philadelphia, right? And this is the tweet. It says, quote, "We want to make sure that no one has to go through what we went through," unquote. A Doylestown family says that their son developed an inflammatory syndrome after COVID-19 infection. They worry about him and all the students as they prepare for school in a couple of weeks, right? That's coming up tonight at 11 p.m., right? So that's going to be a story there. So we're seeing these cases of kids getting like significantly sick right now. And we know that the Delta variant, right, is that even if you're vaccinated, right, that you can actually spread it to others, right? And, you know, as the saying goes, right, my mask protects you, your mask protects me, right? And these people are working on a model which is directly opposite of that. Like, I could do what I want, right? And no consideration for anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, it's mind-numbing. So, yeah, obviously, like, everyone wants the kids in school, right? And ideally, it would be great if they could take off their masks when it's safe, right? When the medical professionals at the CDC say it's okay. But, you know, like, you know, Damsker has been, like, in the past, like, one of the things I did was kind of, like, go through the archives of the Courier and found this, like, old interview with, you know, the pod couple, J.D. Mullane and Phil Jean Vaccaro, you know, and that gave some, like, really insightful kind of, like, tidbits of, like, his thinking on this. Because I felt like he was kind of, like, shooting more from the hip. He felt a little more comfortable. You know, talking to local media, maybe friendlier media that wouldn't be so critical. You know, and in it, he was saying that, like, oh, we know kids don't get affected by this. It's worse for a kid to get the flu than it is to get COVID. And he even made, like, this weird, like, remark about variants, and maybe his opinion had changed since then because this was a March interview. But he was saying that it was just, like, any talk of variants is just a scare tactic.
Yeah, this is this quote. The direct quote is, "I don't want anyone to do anything differently when they hear about variants. I think it's a scare tactic at this point." Right? I mean, that's cut directly from sort of like really out there conspiracy theory about kind of like, you know, this is kind of like Joe Biden trying to get people afraid so they comply. I mean, this is like, seriously, this is like Alex Jones, like, you know, lunatic fringe kind of stuff that's being brought into the mainstream. And that's the kind of stuff that scares the crap out of me, right? When we know that they're at the center of kind of like, you know, they're in a really critical role in our community right now.
Yeah, I mean, I saw one kind of like troll on Twitter, and I don't know if he was a member of Reopen, but he definitely of the Reopen camp. Who tweeted, like, how much money did they pay you, Bucks County? How much money did the Bidens pay you, Bucks County Health Department, Dr. Damsker, right? So just, like, there are these conspiracies that are just, like, circulating around, and people are kind of regurgitating that. But here's the problem, and this is huge. It's still up to the school boards, right?
Thank you. I wanted to get there. Yep.
And so, like, I was talking to some folks in Palisades who had a school board meeting tonight, and they just said it's just, like, it's off the hook. Like, they're pretty convinced and pretty disheartened that they don't think that the school is going to follow Damsker's recommendations, which was what all these, like, right-wing school boards and Reopen folks were just chanting, like, over and over again for the past several months. And they were saying that the director of the Palisades School Board, it's Sylvia LeBlanc, just kind of, like, came out and made a statement, masks suck, right? Which is just, like, okay, that's your school board director? Like, you know, that's, like, what she has to offer. And just, like, kind of, like, you know, the usual comments of, like, people not believing it's a pandemic, et cetera, et cetera. And it's scary. It just shows, like, how we are kind of, like, living in this, like, you know, disinformation post-truth kind of society, or even, like, media landscape. Yeah. Right now, where just people... And people on the right have completely abandoned or lost any trust of any kind of, like, institutions, media, science, etc. And it's only what they're hearing getting regurgitated on Fox News or from these fake news websites that people share on Facebook. Like, that's their go-to source now. And that's why, yep, we're in such a dangerous situation that we find ourselves in.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that I've had this some back and forth with some folks, both on email and kind of in-person discussions and on social media, about exactly this point, about things being left up to the school board. And, you know, the folks that I was having these conversations with tend to be kind of a little bit more liberal, like kind of generally Democrats or whatever. They're probably not as left as I am, but, you know, whatever. We're just kind of talking about it. And they're like, well, I guess the joke's going to be on those people who said follow Damsker, right? Because now they're going to have to follow Damsker. And I'm just like, they're not going to follow Damsker. I mean, you know, I said, you got to understand, you know, you believe that it matters to them that what's coming out of their mouth is corresponds or is uncontradictory to what they had said 5 minutes ago. It's like, this is all about kind of like political opportunity and power politics. That is all. They are not wedded to the truth. Right. So why did Damsker get raised up? Right. Well, because it was convenient for them. Because they could use him as somebody that the other side would recognize as an authority and kind of like kind of shackle them, right? Yeah. And sure enough, like literally, once Damsker came out now, and because of this reporting, because of the pressure that was put up there, although Damsker says it's new information from the hospitals, right? They've revised their code, just as we've talked about already. And like within minutes of that article getting posted, there were already people on there. Oh, the Biden must have gotten to them. How much did Biden pay Damsker to shift it? I'm like, really? Right? I mean, the switch, it's that easy to flip on the dime, right? To kind of like change directions and have, you know, your hero is now kind of like a sellout and is now like, you know, part of the deep state. You know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, and you know, it sucks to suggest that they never should have trusted him in the first place if they don't believe that he's actually following the science, right? So,
but, exactly. You know,
I mean, I think again, I would just want to give a shout out to all the people that are doing the work that are kind of like exposing these things that I'm trying to help like amplify either in my writing or in my social media reporting, you know, because sunlight is the best disinfectant. And the fact that this kind of information, you know, was made public, you know, I think definitely kind of like put him and his work and the Bucks County Commissioners and the Bucks County Health Department under the microscope and kind of maybe like kind of force their hand to actually justify their positions and back them up with like real science with what's happening on the ground and what that local hospitals are saying.
100%. And you know, I'm always reminded of that quote from Jim Hightower, right? About the importance of being an agitator, because he'd always say like, you know, the agitator is that little thing in the middle of the washing machine that goes around back and forth, right? And agitates it. You know what the agitator does? It gets the dirt out, right? And, you know, this is, I want to echo what you're saying there too as well, because, you know, it's very often the case that people are doing that kind of just the daily work of, say, filing right to know requests, trying to get more information, making connections, following the money trail. I mean, one of the things that Sean Kitchen and I have done with Raging Chicken for years, especially Sean, is like, I mean, Sean is like, man, he's got skills coming out every, you know, place in his body for actually following the money and kind of like tracking things that are going on. And very often that's the kind of work that, you know, it's not taking place in the public view, right? But this is a perfect example of like, that's the kind of work that pays off in the end, right? And there's no, I mean, Cyril couldn't have posted that WHYY article wouldn't have. And matter of fact, we probably would not have had a reversal on this mask mandate had it not been from the work of those people in the community who have been doing this work for a while now. So I want to echo the thank you there.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Sean should give like a workshop on some of the tactics and tools that he used. That might be a cool thing to do for the public.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was one of my ideas when I first founded this, the Citizen Media Center was kind of a project I was working on a while. And I was trying to get Sean interested in that. He's like, yeah. But he has, but I tell you, I have, I've sent say students and kind of a range of individuals who do that, you know, who are interested in that stuff. I send them out to meet with Sean. I mean, that's exactly what it is. And Sean will be really good about kind of helping them or providing them a way. Cause it'd be a great, I mean, I would love to have him come in, you know, come into Bucks County, right. And kind of like just meet with folks that are doing this work and talk about how he goes about doing it. And now it is on the air. So Sean, if you're listening, you know what, you're being called out right now, buddy.
I think another thing like we should bring up too, and that I think it's something that the community together has to kind of reconcile is, you know, how to overcome the chilling effect of, you know, these groups, these, you know, digital mobs, attacking people, because I think it's created a, you know, a chilling effect in the community. I think, you know, some people are probably afraid to speak out because of the vitriol and hate that they'll face. I mean, we saw that at the press conference in Doylestown, where a bunch of parents and a student from Central Bucks School District, parents were all doctors, you know, they just held a press conference talking about why they think it's important for the school district to actually have a health and safety plan that will look after the health and safety of the kids. And by that, they meant by like, you know, making sure that like, you know, the younger kids are at least are who can't get the vaccines are masked up and that they're doing the contact tracing. And then we have these people, these reopened types. I'm not saying they're exactly from the reopened group, but they're anti-mask. They want kind of reopen with no strings attached, yelling murderer. Right, child abuse.
That's unbelievable. Yeah.
My kid can't breathe. When the young 16-year-old Indian American student was talking about how, like, her two of her family members, I believe it was her grandparents, died. You know, one woman screamed, "I don't care." Right, and then just like they will go after you personally, they will try to cancel you. You know, I've faced a barrage of kind of like nastiness as well. People kind of going after me. You know, thankfully it was, you know, the messages or emails that may have been sent were kind of unimpressive and trite and nothing I couldn't respond to with, you know, facts and reason.
Like, well, here are the receipts, yeah. Right? You know, it's like, I mean, it's pretty hard when she got go like, well, these are the actual emails, yeah. Right? I mean, so I'm thinking, I don't know what the hell else to tell you. I mean, that's...
Yeah, what are you debating?
I know, so, exactly.
But yeah, so, you know, it's just like, because it is important, because you know the reopened crowd are going out in huge numbers. They're right. Loud. They're obnoxious. Oftentimes, they're fact-free with what they're saying. And then if we don't have representation there, right, it's just like them controlling the narrative and essentially right. Making the decisions. So I don't, you know... I don't want to tell people that they should just kind of like go out there and do that because, like, you know, the people will go after them personally. They will try to get them fired from their jobs, et cetera. But it's something we kind of need to discuss, at least, you know, start a discussion with each other about, you know, what different types of things we can do to kind of like counter this.
Absolutely. You know, I remember, you know, this is something that Chris Hayes has tracked over the years, both in his book Twilight of the Elites kind of years ago. But he's got this segment that I'll actually show to my students sometime where it's it was actually during the healthcare debates, right, around the Obama, like healthcare reform and things like this. There was this segment that went on. It's basically, you know, look, we have you look at the public option, right, for healthcare. And it was polling at something like 78% positive, right? 78% of people supported it. And then went through a list of like several other things, right? Like taxing the rich, for example. Like that polls, that is consistently one of the highest polling positive things that people will say, oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm probably behind that. And like nothing polls like that, right? And the fact that you've got a 78% kind of positive like approval rating, so yes, we want to go ahead with a public option, and then a politics which ran in completely the opposite direction, right, is really a crisis for democratic governance. And what Chris Hayes was always kind of pointing to is like at some point there has to be at least some kind of correspondence between the will of the majority, right, and the policies that actually get enacted. And this is one of these perfect examples of this because the majority of people out there, right, are not the reopen PA people. The majority of people out there are following social guidelines, are wearing masks, have been like struggling along with the rest of us getting through this pandemic, right, to make sure that we can get past it on the other side and everybody is safe. That's the majority of people, right? But these folks, like you said, they're loud, right, and they're represented as having a disproportionate power. And frankly, our democratic politicians cower to them, right? They're afraid of them. And that's where we come in. Because we need to be there in order to bolster up those people that are doing the work of coming forward on this stuff, but also kind of telling those politicians, no, right? If you are not going to support the safety of the community, then we're not going to be supporting you. And we'll primary you, like we'll move forward. But you know what? If you do the right thing, we'll be there for you.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, that this also shows, or, you know, what you were talking about with like the healthcare debate that happened and the kind of like undermining of like public support and confidence of, you know, the public option and Obamacare was just like the power of words and messaging, because all of that just blew up around two words, death panels, right?
Yep.
Which is, it's just insane. And so now, like, you know, outside of the whole, you know, public health and school safety and health kind of debate, you know, we have a similar thing that we're dealing with right now, and that's critical race theory, right?
Exactly.
It's kind of like the same kind of thing, just kind of a term that's been kind of manipulated, turned upside down, and all it is now is just a smear to attack anything that the right, thinks is kind of liberal or progressive. And that, you know, for in the school districts in Bucks County, what they're dealing with is just like, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion, critical race theory, like teaching actual like facts about like the U.S. history, right, is critical mm-hmm. race theory. I mean, even in Texas, like the Texas GOP just kind of like banned like teaching, you know, about Cesar Chavez, Susan B. Anthony, certain Martin Luther King speeches, right? They're just trying to whitewash, you know, and these are like people of color and women that they're kind of, you know, removing or disappearing from history. They're trying to whitewash history. And then when that happens, then you're having, you know, Jefferson said, like, information is the currency of democracy. So, you know, we're going bankrupt right now because of this right-wing campaign. And when you have that, you have a crisis of democracy, because without an informed citizenry, democracy doesn't work.
Exactly. And here's a really concrete example of exactly what happens here. So, like, I was at this parents' meeting tonight, right, at a school. And the principals that they're talking, and one of the first things the principal says, like, look, I'm not here to talk about DEI or critical race theory. That's not what I'm here for. We're here about back to school questions about this stuff. So number one, that he felt he had to start this meeting, right, by addressing that stuff, which is a load of nonsense, as you've reported and written on, you know, kind of quite a bit, which is exactly here. But then he also says, and if we find out that a teacher is teaching CRT, we'll take care of that as we would normally. I'm like, so did you just, I mean, I'm looking around at people, like, did you hear what he just said? And he said, because the CRT is a fantasy, right? It's not taught in schools, right? But so what they're talking about, what they're standing in for is the stuff that you talked about. Oh, are we teaching labor history? Are we teaching kind of like the farm workers movement? Are we talking about the labor movement in Pennsylvania? Are we talking about, you know, I mean, what it might, are we talking about like equity in schools, about new immigrants coming in? Is that what's going to happen? Right now is this war in Afghanistan. There's going to be kind of refugees and refugees that are going to be coming in, right? Are we going to be talking about anti kind of like Afghans, right, coming into the area? I mean, what's it? And if I start talking about the refugee crisis, is that teaching CRT? Well, you can guarantee there's going to be some people that are going to make that case, right? And that's exactly that kind of like, you know, that's that wet blanket, right? It's the chilling effect on what education is supposed to be. We're supposed to be able to kind of engage with these issues as they are and deal with those difficult questions, not pretend that they don't exist.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Well, man, hey, you know, this isn't going anywhere. So, you know, we're going to be kind of back on this. I know that this is, I'm going to have another special, I couldn't even get into this tonight because there's all the stuff that's going on at my school at Kutztown University. I'm going to have the stories of a couple faculty members that are being completely just basically going to be, are being forced to choose between their well-being and their job, right? But I don't want to kind of talk too much about that now. We've already gone on to, kind of normally than we normally do, but I'm going to talk about what the impact that that's going to be having too. That's going to be happening. There's a school board meetings are going to be continuing on Monday, the 23rd, I believe it's 6:30 p.m. the Penn Ridge School District. The critical race theory and DEI is on the agenda. Right. So now with this shifting of these mask policies, I'm sure that is going to be kind of front and center. We saw, for example, in the Burke stand up was posting this earlier. You had Richard Sweats, right, from the Proud Boys, showed up at an Exeter school board meeting kind of against masks. Right. So this stuff is not going anywhere and we're going to be following this closely. But, you know, I do want to give you a shout out, Cyril, for really kind of, you know, bringing to light a lot of this stuff around Damscare, because like I said, it's like, I'm not the only one, right, that felt something's not right here, but couldn't put our finger on it. And the fact that there had not been this kind of investigative work that has done before, like in the public, like in the newspapers and things like this, is pretty shocking. But, you know, look, we're here now, and we're actually seeing a kind of impact, kind of the kind of community work that we can all do.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the point. Like that's like, you know, collective action and organizing, and just like, you know, one of the things that, you know, you're doing with the podcast, and like I've tried to do with my column and my newsletter, is to just kind of like build and connect like the progressive community, because when we work together, that, you know, we can accomplish like great things.
100%. Well, quick programming note once again, tomorrow, just I forgot to mention this at the top of the show too as well, Sean and I are going to be doing a kind of a quicker version of our weekly podcast. We're going to do that tomorrow morning instead of Friday. We've got a bunch of conflicts, which also includes things like having an electrician come in my house and figure out why the hell the lights keep on flicking on and off, right? And Sean's got some stuff he's got to get to too as well. And then on Monday, we're going to have Ben Tupper coming in talking about the crisis in Afghanistan. And then if Cyril can get a break from work, he's getting run into the ground right now. I won't share all the details, but man, oh man, I don't know how you're doing it. Ben, we'll be back to you as soon as we can with more of this.
Yeah, hopefully. I know I've kind of, you know, haven't been as active as I had been. And again, that's just because I've been forced to, like, you know, I just got a lot of work responsibilities right now, but I'm hoping that'll lighten up. I'm going to try to get out a newsletter for Friday, and then tentatively my column should return, and I'm just waiting on confirmation on that. I believe it would be like September 2nd.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, Cyril, man, I'm glad we were able to carve out this little piece of time and come out here. And thank you all once again in the community for all the work that you've done, basically to really, you know, bring this issue of what's actually happening with public health in Bucks County to the fore. And all the great reporters out there who've been following this case. Fantastic. So this is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Ragey Chicken. Help support this show. Patreon.com, RC Press, $5 a month. See ya!